This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Ah, yes, a couple of days removed from the Super Bowl. The Buccaneers today had their parade, water parade, whatever you want to call it. And we're going to put a final bow on the season and look ahead just a little bit with our good friend, Steve Young, who was actually in Tampa for the game and nice enough to join us now. Steve, how you doing?
Great, Michael. How's everybody?
Everybody's good. Great. Now, a lot good. Of people, Steve, feel like they fell out of love with Patrick Mahomes because the Chiefs lost that game. I looked at him, and I'll use the phrase I've used the last 2 days. I thought he was heroic under extreme pressure. Did you lose any love for him the way he played on Sunday?
No, I didn't lose any love. And the Chiefs, I said all year long, the only people that are going to beat the Chiefs are the Chiefs, and they proved that very well because they were, flat. They were distracted. Todd Bowles was going to play cover two, umbrella defenses, wasn't going to give up the 80-yard play, the 50-yard pass. He's not going to do it. So it was going to be one of those games where you just got to be patient, just, kind of matriculate the ball down the field and have the 10-play drives, and they weren't going to stop them. But they just wanted to make heroic, ESPN, kind of highlight reels. And they just kept – and that's exactly what the Bucs wanted to do. So, it's like, what are you guys doing? Somewhat similar to how I felt about the Rams 2 years ago against the Patriots. Like, guys, it's not working. Like, just settle in and get on some nice drives and, they never did. And then they line up offsides on the guys lined up offsides. One of the big plays of the game that turned it, another. And then before half, Tom's up 14-6. Things have not gone well. You guys have not responded to kind of the defenses that you saw. And now we're going to call timeout to try to leave Patrick Mahomes under 20 seconds with no timeouts because we're that cool. And then all you do is give Tom a chance to go make it 21. That's just, you might as well poke a fork in your eye. So I just, those are the kind of things that lose Super Bowls, lose championship games. And and they did exactly what they needed to do to lose that game and for no really good reason. And you could, I don't know exactly why they were distracted, but that was not them. And, they were going to be under, once they got behind and they had to go throw the football, they couldn't protect. They knew that. And they were going to go back and throw it 30 times. But who gets behind by 3 touchdowns to the Bucs? I don't think Atlanta did. I'm trying to think of somebody who got down 3 touchdowns to the Bucs. Nobody, except for the Chiefs. So, I learned more about the Chiefs than I did about the Bucs. The Bucs did good. They were solid. Every bit solid, every place. Of course, Tom's going to be buttoned up. And they played a good game and won the Super Bowl because of it.
Now, it shouldn't be an excuse, but you mentioned distraction. And you go into the history of the Super Bowl, Stanley Wilson, Eugene Robinson. Whenever there seems to be some sort of during-the-week controversy, maybe it's just coincidence, but those teams lose. Is it possible that what happened with the coach's son might have crept in and been some kind of distraction for the Chiefs?
Oh, it was a distraction no matter how you look at it. It was a terrible situation. Mm-hmm. Feel terrible for Brett. Feel terrible, more terrible for the people who were hurt, the young child. These are just terrible things that happened. And terrible for the coach and for the team. I think you're looking at for some, how much of a distraction. It's hard to say. But those kinds of things are distractions. And especially when little kids are hurt and it's brutal. The idea, was it a distraction? Of course it was. It's just a matter of how much it affected the game. It's hard to say.
Yeah, I guess what I'd be curious about, Steve, we were discussing this, when you talk about how much of a distraction it is, he's an outside linebacker's coach. Listen, he's not the offensive coordinator, but he's still a part of
the
team.
But he's the coach's son.
And he's the coach's son.
He's the coach. I think that's the issue, right? And was it a distraction for – it had to be for Andy. It's got to be – he's worried about those two children in the hospital. He's got to travel. He's got to keep the team going. To me, it's not worth overplaying, but if you ask me a question, was it a distraction? Of course it was. Just a matter of how much.
All right, so I need you to clear something up that we talked about yesterday. So Bart Scott, who's on our station, said that he would trade Patrick Mahomes for Deshaun Watson and J.J. Watt. He thinks Deshaun Watson's as good as Patrick Mahomes. And then Keyshawn Johnson came on and said Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, and Dak Prescott are the same quarterback. It's just that Patrick Mahomes is on a better team. Do you agree with those statements?
No. No, it's just that's look, Deshaun Watson's a tremendous football player. I have not seen Deshaun Watson go win playoff games and Super Bowls and face that. There's a filter you got to go through when everybody's staring at you. Everybody knows that you're supposed to be the greatest player, young player in the game, and then you go play like it. That's something that Deshaun Watson nor Dak have done. Now, I'm not saying they can't. In many ways, they haven't had the opportunity. So it's like, oh, I think Patrick's better because he's had the opportunity, but he did it. And he's been through those filters. And I love Deshaun Watson. I would, if they let go, we've said on the show, the Texans should be lopped out of the NFL. But don't tell me that they're an equal player because they haven't faced that filter, that hurdle. That's a huge challenge that you want to see people in that spot. I want to see Deshaun Watson in the championship football game as a favorite. I want to see Dak Prescott as a favorite in the championship game, the Super Bowl. That's what I want to see, and that's when you can say, "Oh yeah, they're the same."
How about the skill set, though?
Nobody throws it like Patrick. Patrick can throw it anywhere in the field, on the run, going back. Deshaun's close to that. Dak doesn't have the raw skills that Patrick has. Deshaun and Patrick are similar players, but I mean, Deshaun's faster. He can make many more yards with his legs. But as far as you saw, when you say heroic, his effort, yeah, he was under siege and he was finding ways to throw footballs. You're like, how did he possibly spin around and throw that football?
Right.
So there's some unique things that Patrick can do there's unique things that Deshaun could do that Patrick can't do. We get that. But if you're going to compare them, right now, as the 2021 prototypical quarterback for going into the next 10 years, it's going to be Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson's right there.
Steve, I'm going to say something that's going to sound contradictory, but I think it makes sense. And see if you agree. Tom Brady's the GOAT, but I've seen better quarterbacks. Can both be true?
Because Peyton and Tom did it from one spot, which is really maybe the most remarkable thing. It's like Dan Marino did it from one spot, meaning that they didn't move. They don't have the ability to extend plays. They can. They're nifty in the pocket, but they're not going to be able to do all the things that Russell Wilson can do and Aaron Rodgers can do, and Deshaun Watson can do, and Patrick Mahomes can do, and like that is very limiting. And the fact that they thrive, especially before the safety rules, the fact that Peyton and Tom thrived in 2000, 2010, that's some tough football. The football's changed now, but I give that to them. But if you're going to say you love a more athletic quarterback, someone who can do more, an Aaron Rodgers, then your statement is okay. I can live with that. But who cares if you don't have the ability to go do all those things, but you're still getting it done? In some ways, it's even more respect. I mean, I feel like with Tom Brady, I was like, that dude has more respect because he has to do it from one place. I never had to do that. If you told me, Steve, you can't run, you can't move around, I'm like, hey, no. That's not the game I want. And he and Peyton thrived at that for 20 years. And I just, you tip your cap at that. And so I do the same thing to Dan Marino. Dan thrived in a really difficult NFL from one place. That's hard to do.
Yeah.
Would you look at Tom and say 7 Super Bowls is even just beyond your imagination, that you can't even imagine that this guy did it? And the other side
100%.
Of that, too, could any other take the best quarterback that you think in the NFL? Let's say it's Patrick Mahomes. Let's say it's Deshaun. Let's say it's Aaron Rodgers. Would they have won with this Tampa Bay team the way Tom did?
It's everyone loves that. It's like, well, what if Bill Belichick was the coach? Would he? it's like, we can do that. Like, you guys
well, he wouldn't have come then.
It's crazy to me. Yeah, I know, right? But, Tom has a remarkable ability to draw the people around him closer, to fight, to trust, to, you know, and as robotic as he can be in the public, he must be so dynamic in private, because he's constantly, whoever's around him, doesn't matter if it's star-studded or just a bunch of, you know, kind of journeymen, they all are better with him there. And it's constant, and it's never ending, and they're always more buttoned up, more efficient. And so every time Tom Brady gets near you, you're better than you used to be, and you're more efficient, and you're more buttoned up. And you fight for each other, and you have a sense of real team camaraderie. Like, I know that doesn't make sense for people, because Tom comes off so vanilla in his public persona. But he, you just take it from me. He goes to Tampa, and he's done what he's done in New England for years and years and years. He's drawn 23-year-old kids that have nothing in common with him, you know, and he draws them in, and they fight for him, and he plays. So I don't know what Aaron Rodgers would do. I don't know what Russell Wilson would do. I don't know what Deshaun Watson would do. But I know that Tom Brady does that every time he gets around human beings. So there's something really unique and admirable about how Tom draws people closer to him.
Are you buying that Wilson's jumped over Fields in this draft?
I understand why they're saying it. Zach is a kid. Now, remember, we'd learn a lot more if he played another year, so let's just – but Zach's a kid that this season every – and I – and Roderick – I can't remember A-Rod, Roderick was the last name. He's the offensive coordinator for BYU. He was really doing a lot of stuff that Andy Reid was doing. He'd see stuff on Sunday, and then he'd put it in the next Saturday. And the more they asked of him, the more you got. The more you wanted an expansive game, you got even more than you thought. So that's why he's jumped. Because all of a sudden it's like, what's his ceiling? We don't know. People start to think, well, I think I know what Justin Fields' ceiling is, and it's a high ceiling. But Pax, I don't know. Is he Patrick Mahomes? Can he do everything that Patrick's doing? Kind of feels like it. What does that mean? And he's so settled about it. I always say that about quarterbacks. Patrick Mahomes is always at peace. Not on Sunday with the Super Bowl under siege, I get that. But, right. You know, 99% of the time he's at peace on the field. And very few quarterbacks, especially young ones, are like that. And Zach comes across that way. And I think that's why he's, you know, people would love to put him up against Trevor Lawrence, but it's just he didn't have that body of work, so they just can't do it.
Aaron Rodgers, I think that's why they're so excited about him.
Aaron Rodgers, sorry.
Yeah. So if the Jets don't trade for Watson, let's say that the Texans go through with this and they say Watson could sit, we're not trading him. If you're them, Steve, would you stay with Darnold, or would you go with Fields or the kid from BYU, Wilson?
I think you always tend to the guy you've seen as a pro, because that's always, you know, despite the challenges. I think you've got to know Darnold better. Like, I don't know him personally. I'd have to sit in with him and see his grit and his, you know, just the gut feeling. Right. But if I was with him a lot, I would have that gut feeling. And if I had it, I would say stay. And coaches and good coaches, and Robert Saleh is a smart, he's a gut instinct guy. He's not an offensive minded guy. Greg Knapp, my old coach, is still there. Greg's a great, he's a gut reader. You know, he can have a sense of that. And if you feel good in your gut about Sam, keep him. But if you don't, I mean, I think Justin and Zach are great options, but you got to go train them. And they have huge upsides. But bigger than anything, we get this. Sam was a high draft pick. He's highly regarded, very much like these guys. If your team does not have a plan, is not stabilized, is not have a great coach, you saw what Stefanski's done. You saw what happened in Buffalo. You get a good coach or a great coach, settling everybody down, and you have a plan from the general manager. Now we got a chance. And I don't really, maybe all any of the three are fine if we have the plan. If we don't have a plan, none of the three are fine.
What do your eyes say, though? I mean, you haven't sat in the room with Sam, but just watching him, do you think he can do it?
Well, BYU's my, I mean, people think I'm a homer, but I whenever I watched Zach this year, I was not in awe, right? I'm not going to say, but I was like, let me see more of this. I want to see this kid, you know.
Great
arm?
Does he have a great arm?
Yes. Yes, he can throw it anywhere. I'm telling you, he's got the talent of Patrick Mahomes, but you just, okay, great. He's come out of BYU playing Houston and Boise State, you know. Right. But we've figured that out before. I just, look, he got in the cold. He got in the rain. He got in the wind. He got in, nothing bothered him. Nothing bothered him. He just expanded and threw balls all over the place. And he just, when he's moving the pocket, you feel like he has a sense of 22 guys, spatial relationships. You know, the great players have that instinct nature of settling around 22 guys, where a lot of people get panicked and freaked out by the sheer chaos of it. And he seems to be super settled about it. So wherever he ends up in the NFL, I think he's going to really thrive.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
How do you I'm sorry, go ahead, Michael.
No, you go, Don.
We were having a discussion yesterday about, you know, what's happening in the NBA. Could it happen in the NFL with these quarterbacks? Russell Wilson doesn't seem to be happy. Rodgers, you see what's happening with Watson. If you owned a team, how much logically control would you give of your star player, especially your quarterback? Would you have him sit in the draft? Would you have them choose the coach? Like, how much leeway would you give them?
You saw the irrational pay trade for the Rams. Irrational meaning the old school thinking. It's not irrational anymore. The game is so heavy to offense, so heavy to the quarterback, that if you have one, you have a shot. You don't, you're out. And if you have a decent one, you're still out. You have to have a top-line quarterback, and you go to the Super Bowl every year. And I think it's always been kind of that case, but you all used to be you could load up on defense and say, look, we're going to be a number one defense and have an average quarterback, we'll be fine. And people have won Super Bowls that way. Not anymore. Doesn't happen. You got to have one of the best. And so that's why when it comes to the quarterback court carousel and how it's going to go down, Don, I got talking around the circle. I forgot your actual question.
Well, so if you have that player, you have Rodgers, you have Wilson, you have Watson.
Oh yeah.
How much control do you give them? How much do you make them a part of the process?
Yeah, I was circling around so far. I forgot where I was circling to. The point being that they're going to have more power. They feel it, they sense it, and they're going to take it. And they're smart to do it. I mean, the idea that you're going to get involved in personnel decisions within reason and range, but say, look, I want to make sure that we're making the investment in offensive line. I want to make sure that, because if Aaron Rodgers gets support in the offensive line, he'll be the MVP every year. He just hasn't gotten it. And that's a criticism for the Packers. So I that's one of the first things I told Aaron Rodgers when I saw him in 2008 when he was replacing Brett Favre. He's like, hey, Steve, you know, you replaced Joe Montana. We got a lot in common. We really built a friendship out. I said, the one mistake I ever made, Aaron, is I didn't go to the general manager and have opinions within reason, within, you know, structure and within, you know, respect, you know, in respect, that I didn't go and make sure that they invested in offensive line, in receivers, to give you the opportunity to go get the full measure of who you are. And I encourage it, but it has to be done in the right way. I got to be honest with you. I'm disappointed in Russell Wilson. The idea that I'm going to come out and say, look, I need to be protected better is not the way I would do it. You know, it's not how I would. Is that your beginning foray to try to get out of Seattle? Nobody's more about the Seattle Seahawks than Russell Wilson. All of a sudden, I want to get out. How do you do that? You have to become toxic. You have to become, you know, have to burn it to the ground to get out of town, and that's not worth it. So these guys that are entrenched, they're not going to get out unless they plan it like Tom Brady. Now, Deshaun Watson's hit it just perfect. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. He's hit it just perfect with the dysfunction in Houston and the mistakes, the glaring mistakes. It gave him an opening to kind of jump ahead and actually maybe pull this off. But if you're an established quarterback and you're one of the stars of the game and you want to get out of town, you're going to have to burn it to the ground. And some people might be willing to do that. I don't think Russell's willing to do it. I don't think Aaron's willing. You could see Aaron post-game. He was ready to burn it down. for about 15 minutes, right? In the locker room right after the game.
Right.
He's like, I'm gutted and I'm sick. And he said it. But then, you know, 3 days later, he's on the radio show and he's now realized, I'm not willing to burn it down. I'm not willing to just tell the Packer fans and everybody else I'm done. So I don't think there's going to be movement amongst the stars other than Deshaun Watson. But they're going to have a lot more power. And if they want to burn it down, they probably could.
Talking with Steve Young. Before we let you go, Steve, I'm watching all the pregame shows on Sunday. And there was one of them is a feature on Tom Brady. And Brady says to whomever was interviewing him, I'm sorry, I forget. He said, my idols growing up were Joe Montana and Steve Young. Now, when we have young kids call up our show and say, you know, we're in broadcasting because of you guys, we love it. And it melts me. I get choked up. And I started to think, what does that make Steve Young feel like? This is the greatest quarterback of all time, and he idolized you. Do you ever think about that?
When I was 2001 or two, I was in Hawaii. I just retired, and I was doing something for Children's Miracle Network, and I was around the Pro Bowl, and we were doing a fun little flag football, and I got all of my phone rang, and it was Tom Brady from like the eighth floor of the hotel that was looking over this game. And he's like, you still got it. You're like, I was my first interaction with Tom Brady. Tell me about growing up in San Mateo and loving Joe and I. And so I've had this the whole time. And really anytime my idol was Roger Staubach. Roger Staubach didn't know me, but had a huge impact in my life. And I remember meeting him the first time in a 92 championship game. He came out as honorary captain for the Cowboys to midfield. And I was like, I couldn't speak. I was like stuttering, and I was trying to tell Roger, like, thank you for being you, and you're my idol, and I'm so grateful that you're. And I used to hold the ball like you held it. I looked at your poster in my room. I mean, I was just babbling at midfield at the coin toss for the championship game because of the impact that he had in my life, and I've been paying it forward ever since because of that. That's very impactful for me, and the idea that Tom would say that about me, Michael. I mean, it's emotional. It's like that's my dream is that I can make an impact like Roger had on me and paying it forward. And the idea that now he's arguably the greatest athlete ever, it's you can imagine, it's super cool.
Now,
but anyone else that would say that I helped them or did something is really a paying forward for what Roger did for me.
Does it ruin it? If you meet someone and they come up to you and they go, oh, I got to tell you, Steve, you're so important to me. Joe Montana number one and you're number two. I just
shuts it down. Peter.
Do you instantly go? Right, you know what? Take a walk, pal.
Let's fight. Let's fight. You know, it's, well, the worst is when they walk up and said, "My grandfather loved you." You're like, "Oh man, that hurts."
Listen, I just want to tell everybody who's listening to this: Steve Young does this out of the goodness of his heart.
That's right.
We don't pay him. He doesn't have to do it. We just love having him on, and you mean the world to us that you do this every week during football season. And when football's over, we actually miss talking to you. But I wanted to say right on the air how much we appreciate you giving us like 20 minutes every week. It's just amazing to us, and our listeners love you, and we love you too. We just think it's the greatest.
It's love.
Well, Peter, Don, Michael, I mean, honestly, from my heart, I enjoy it. I look forward to it. There's not a lot of football talk around my house. And it's cathartic for me. You guys ask me great questions. It's fun to think about. I know my roots are in Greenwich, Connecticut, as you know. There's people there that, you know, can hear my voice, and I feel like I'm still connected in the New York area, and it's kind of my home. So this is a labor of love. I mean, I do a thing for KNBR here on the West Coast in San Francisco, and we finish each one doing a shout out to, you know, first responders and people who are out there serving and doing things for free and helping human beings. And so, like, maybe next year we'll figure out something to do that, because it's been a great thing. Like, we're doing it all kind of for each other, but we've been shouting out at the end of shows about like someone else that's doing something, you know, serving other people and serving humanity in a volunteer way. And it really is great. So I love it. I love talking to you guys. I look forward to it. Even Peter with his Washington football team questions. It's tremendous. You guys are dear. I mean, really, you're dear friends of mine, and we get to talk on. We've met a few times, but we get to talk so much that I feel like we're connected forever. So it means a lot to me. So off we go. And I give you is everything I got. So it's fun to chat every week, and I'll miss you guys for a while. If you miss me too much, give me a call. I'll be glad to talk some NBA basketball or the Mets or something when I used to sneak into Shea Stadium.
Enjoy your off season, and if something big comes up, we might ring you up. But thank you again, Steve. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Love you guys.
All right,
take care.
See you guys.
That's Steve Young, and he is absolutely the best. Yeah, you could give me the passings, whatever you want. This is number one. I will not hear it.
Yeah, it's over.
He backed it up. He, from the second the conversation came up about is Steve number one,
he brought it up a level.
Well, that's what champions do.
I got to tell you, I'm being totally honest. I say this with all due respect. And you know if I say with all due respect, you guys know what that means.
That means there's due respect.
So much of it. There's a big gap now between him and number two.
Whoa!
Big gap.
Well, you can ask, why do you love Steve Young so much? Because, first of all, he's a tremendous guest. He's a nice guy. He's at the top of his game in the sport that he played. I mean, it's a great combination. But he's genuine, and it's fun. And, you know, that's a thrill for me, Michael, to be able to talk to somebody that I saw play. And that he enjoys talking to us, that's so cool.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.